In the aftermath of the tragic deaths of 900 migrants from war-torn Libya that occurred last week in the Mediterranean Sea, the European Union was compelled to reconsider its hardline approach against immigrants. In an emergency summit, EU leaders voted to triple the budget for sea rescue and intensified efforts to break up migrant smugglers' networks. Only months earlier, EU leaders declined to fund Italy's widely praised Mare Nostrum rescue operation off the coast of Libya, which saved the lives of 100,000 migrants. Instead, the EU Border Control Agency set up Operation Triton, prioritizing border security over humanitarian relief. But the border protection strategy failed to stem the tide of desperate migrants, and the death toll at sea skyrocketed. After the recent deaths of 900 migrants, humanitarian groups and the United Nations complained about the EU's minimalist response to the crisis. For now, EU leaders, including Germany's Angela Merkel and Britain's David Cameron, have changed their policy, contributing ships to aid and rescue operations. A statement by Save the Children declared, "Europe took a small step away from the moral abyss, but it needs to do much more to provide clarity and turn this momentum into lives saved at sea." In December, progressive activist shareholders won a major victory when military contractor Northrop Grumman canceled its membership in the right-wing American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, a key force promoting voter suppression laws, gun rights, the privatization of public education, and other far-right policies. To date, over 100 corporations have pulled out of ALEC in response to shareholder and public pressure. According to the news magazine In These Times, conservatives are complaining about the influence and effectiveness of liberal shareholder activists. 2 years ago, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce issued a report claiming labor-backed shareholder groups were damaging the financial interest of millions of retirees. At the same time, activists on the left say many shareholder activists are too willing to seek compromise positions, dropping their advocacy for more far-reaching change. According to the nonprofit Sustainable Investment Institute, progressive shareholder activism has grown steadily. There were a record 454 socially and environmentally focused resolutions filed in 2014, about 50 more than in 2013. More than half of the resolutions filed last year targeted investment groups and pension funds. In 2014, nearly 40% of the resolutions addressed climate change, sustainable governance, renewable energy, and other environmental issues, while 30% had to do with corporate political activity. Laura Berry, director of the Interfaith Center for Corporate Responsibility, noted, "The power we have is the reputational risk. Companies don't like these issues being brought to the attention of all the institutional shareholders." Months before Hillary Clinton launched her 2016 presidential campaign with a listening tour in Iowa, Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus sent a team of opposition researchers to Little Rock, Arkansas, to dig up dirt on the former First Lady and Secretary of State. The current effort is an echo of the 20-year-old Arkansas Project, funded by right-wing billionaire Richard Mellon Scaife, which turned Whitewater and Troopergate into public scandals in a failed attempt to politically destroy the Clinton White House. But observers of the 1990s investigations think there isn't much left to expose since the Clintons left Little Rock in 1992. The new target is the family's international nonprofit Clinton Foundation. The current attack is contained in a new book, Clinton Cash, by conservative author Peter Schweizer, who charges that Hillary was influenced by donations to the Clinton Foundation to use her position as Secretary of State to provide public policy favors to those donors. Peter Schweizer has worked as a foreign policy advisor to Sarah Palin, was a fellow at the Koch brothers-funded Hoover Institution, was a former speechwriting consultant for George W. Bush, and has a history of botched hyperpartisan reporting. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.